morning, and it's certainly good to be able to spend some time this morning in worship to God. I've been encouraged already by our songs and our comments around the Lord's table and the prayers, and it's an encouragement to be with you this morning. We do have visitors. We're thankful for your presence. We have family in. It's good to see Chuck and his family. We have the Mays with us today and others who are here, and we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. If I were to ask you this morning, what does it mean to be a Christian? How would you answer that question? What comes to your mind as a Christian as to what would constitute sort of a summary statement of that? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, we all might have different responses to that, and I don't think that there's any just one right biblical response, but what comes to your mind if someone were to ask you, just summarize in a nutshell what it means to be a Christian? How would you answer that? Well, someone might think, for example, what it means to be a Christian is someone who has heard the Word of God, believed it, repented of their sins, confessed Jesus, and being baptized into Christ. That's what would come to their mind is what constitutes being a Christian. Maybe add in living faithfully thereafter. We talked about that recently, not too long ago, in a lesson. And that would be a good answer. That certainly is the beginning point of being a Christian. Someone else might answer, well, to me, what it means to be a Christian is to come to church on Sunday. And I get up Sunday morning, I might put on some nice clothes, and I go down there to the church building, and I worship, and I go home. That might come to their mind, and that's good. We certainly need to do that. We need to be involved in that. What does it mean to be a Christian? Someone might respond, well, it was just something that was encouraged in my life. My parents wanted me to do that. The preacher wanted me to do that. My friends wanted me, the Bible class teacher or someone like that talked with me about that, and I became a Christian, and that's what comes to my mind. And that's certainly a good thing as well. But this morning, I want us to consider something from God's Word, and as I mentioned earlier, whatever your response to that question might be, it's a good response. There's not one right answer. I want to share with you this morning a bigger concept, a broader concept of what it means to be a Christian. And if you'll turn with me this morning to a place that you might find odd, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Come back with me to the beginning of time. And I want to set the stage here, all the way back at the beginning of time, on what it means to be a Christian. You might find that an odd place to go to, but you're going to see, hopefully in just a minute, the connection between the two. What does it mean to be a Christian? When you turn back to the beginning of time, you find that when God made man, He gave him relationships that he is going to have all throughout his life in some way or another. You and I, and everybody in the world, even people that aren't Christians, we all have these relationships in some way or another. And they are presented to man right at the very beginning of time, these different relationships. And I'm here to tell you this morning that what it means to be a Christian is this. That when you and I face these relationships in life, which we all will, even non-Christians have these relationships. When you and I face these relationships, we will be facing them in the best way possible, if we're a Christian. Everybody has these relationships, but when you choose to become a Christian and live faithfully as a Christian, you will have these relationships in the best way possible in your life. Now, other people will have these same relationships, but they're going to have struggles and problems and trials, and they're going to bring things upon themselves that are going to hurt them. They're going to have the same relationships, but it's not going to be what you have as a Christian. Let's look at what these relationships are that are given to man all the way back at the very beginning, and we're going to see that they're still in existence even to this day. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. When God makes man on the sixth day, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Everybody in the world today has a spiritual relationship. You have been given a spirit. And you have an opportunity to have a relationship that is spiritual, non-physical. You have a physical body, but you also have a spirit that is within you. In chapter 2, in verse 7, God formed man from the dust of the ground. There's your physical body, but breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And we're made in the image of God, and so we have a spirit inside of us. And so everybody in the world has a spiritual relationship. They can have a spiritual relationship with God or not God. They have it, whether they want to have that with God or not. They have a spirit in them. So one relationship that we have in life is a spiritual relationship where we can take that spirit and we can worship God with that. We can worship in spirit and in truth. So we have a spiritual relationship, everybody in the world. Everybody has a spirit. But when you go back to the beginning of time, if you'll turn with me to chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, God put man in the garden to tend it and to keep it. He put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. God ordained a work relationship that mankind needs to work. We need to get up in the morning and we need to go to work. We need to be productive in our mind and in our body. And somebody says, well, wait a minute. I thought work was a curse. And so folks will turn to chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 and 19. And they see where Adam is working with the sweat of his brow and so forth. And so I thought work was a curse. No. Work is a blessing and it's a design and it's a relationship that God gave man. What you're reading in chapter 3 is the increased intensity of that work and the toil of that work, but work has always been there from the beginning. God wants us to have a work relationship. Your mind and your body is actually made to stay active, physically active, getting out there, producing good, doing good. And so we have a work relationship that was found all the way back at the very beginning of time. Come with me to chapter 2 and verse 18. When God said to mankind that they were to be fruitful and multiply, that wasn't to be just in any old sexual relationship. It was to be with a husband and a wife. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, God establishes the family relationship, where a father and a mother will bear children, and they will be married in a God-given marriage. They will have children. And so the family relationship was made from the very beginning. So everybody experiences that. Now, I didn't say everybody gets married. I didn't say that. I didn't say that everybody has children. I didn't say that. I said everybody has a family relationship. If we're living, we had a mom and dad somewhere. Whether we choose later to get married or whether we choose later to have children is another point, but we all have a family relationship in this world. Everybody. And everybody is made to work in some way. It could be working in the home. It could be working outside the home. But we're all made to do that very thing. And we all have a spirit in us. All 8 billion plus people in the world today. Do you see my point, brethren, that God is giving man relationships? They've had these from the dawn of time. The question is, how do we choose to go through those relationships? And that's what it means to be a Christian. Look with me at Genesis chapter 4. After Cain kills his brother Abel. Verse 14, Genesis 4:14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it will come to pass that whosoever finds me will slay me. And Jehovah said unto him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Jehovah appointed a sign or a mark for Cain, lest any finding him should smite him. Notice that Cain is going out and there's going to be other people in the world. There's going to be a social relationship. We might call this a community. Because once families begin to grow, Adam and Eve have their children and Cain and Abel have their children. And you begin to read in chapter 4, verse 16, Cain and his family and so forth that comes from him. You begin to see that there is a social community. There's other people around us. And so Cain was worried about other people finding him. Well, what is that? That's a community. Everybody that lives on the earth is going to be around somebody else. And so how do we handle that? How do we talk to people? How do we act with other people? How do we interact with them? How do we get along with them? So there's going to be social relationships. We don't live on an island. We don't typically live in a cave. We don't live on top of a mountain by ourselves. We're surrounded by other people. So there are going to be social relationships. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, after Noah and his family come out of the ark. God says that they can eat of these animals and every moving thing shall be for food. And then verse 5, and surely your blood, the blood of your lives, will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man, even at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, and that goes back to our first relationship, we have a spirit in us that's made after God's image. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. There's your social community. But when someone kills someone else, God says, by man shall his blood be shed. And so here is someone who's murdered someone. There's going to be man out here who will require that. What is that? That's the beginning of what we would call civil relations or what we might call civil government. And so God is going to put in place a group of men who can uphold his law and enforce the death penalty when someone kills somebody. So we begin to see that God instituted civil government. All of us have some relationship or another. No matter where we live in the world, we have these relationships in our life. The question is, how are we going to live through them? How are we going to navigate those things? One more, and then we'll move forward. Come back with me to Genesis chapter 4 in the matter of Cain killing his brother Abel, or thinking about that. He was angry. Look at Genesis 4, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. He was angry. This has to do with your own inner person. Your own inner attitudes, how you view yourself, how you look at yourself. And Cain was very angry. Look at this. And his countenance fell. What is that? His countenance. What's your countenance? What you're thinking, what you're feeling, especially about yourself. How are you handling this situation? God has had respect for your brother's sacrifice, but not for yours. How are you viewing that? How are you viewing him? How are you viewing yourself? How do you think about yourself? What do you think of yourself? And then look at what God says. If you do well, here's your free will, you can choose. If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? That is your countenance. And if it does not do well, sin couches at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire. But look at this. Do you rule over it? What are you being taught there? You're being taught that God gives you a free will that you can control. You can control your countenance. You can control what you think about yourself and how you handle situations in life. Do you rule over it? That's what we would call today self-control. So there's this sixth relationship that everybody has in life. So moving forward now, having learned that God gave these things from the very beginning, here's what patriarchal law is. Patriarchal law is how to handle these six things with God's law. And the law of Moses during the Old Testament period is how to handle these six things with God's law. That's what it means to be a patriarch, or that's what it means to be under the law of Moses. And the same thing has to do with what it means to be a Christian. These areas that are in our life, that everybody has, we want to go into those areas of our life in the best way possible. So what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that in the matter of my spirit, I'm going to be a member of the church. It means that with regard to the workplace, I'm going to follow the New Testament teaching on being an employer or an employee, and that's the best way to handle that relationship. And the best way to handle the spiritual relationship is in the Lord's church that He built with His blood. And when it comes to the home and family, there are people all over the world that have this relationship, but I'm going to do it as a Christian because that's what's going to make me the best husband possible, the best wife possible, the best child possible. Do you see what it means to be a Christian? It means that in all of these areas of our life that everybody has, we're going to voluntarily choose to follow the New Testament scriptures that give me the best life possible in all of these relationships. It means that when I live in a neighborhood and when I go to Walmart and I go to Kroger and any other place and I'm around other people, I've got a community, I don't live on an island, there's a community around me, I'm going to talk with them and interact with them in a way that is the best way possible. I'm not going to engage in any kind of violence and I'm not going to engage in any kind of name calling. I'm not going to be a bad husband or a bad wife. I'm not going to be a lazy person. I'm not going to just have a spirit in me, but it just doesn't do anything. I'm going to take these relationships that God gave man from the very beginning, and I'm going to engage in them in the way that God wants me to engage to give me the best life possible. And I live under a government. We all live under a government. Everybody, no matter where you're living, there's some local or regional government that controls that area. How do I handle that? Well, I'm going to handle that the way a Christian should handle that. And I've got my own individual self, just like you do. And I've got to do something with myself. You've got to do something with yourself. How's the best way to handle that? Well, we're going to see that being a Christian is the best way to handle that. You know, it is important to think about what we call the five steps of conversion. It's important to think about that. And it's important to think about coming here on Sunday and being here and being present to worship. That's important. And it's important when someone talks with us about the importance of being a Christian. But let me tell you something bigger. In a bigger setting, as I go through life, I start off as a baby, I grow up, teenager, get a little bit older, I go through life, I'm going to have these six relationships. I'm going to have these relationships. It's just a part of what God wants for mankind. Why not pick the way to best handle all of those relationships? Why not do that? Who would not want to do that? And that's what it means to be a Christian. So let's look at it. Let's go through these things this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. God gives us a New Testament church in which we can take our spirit and have a right relationship with God. It's the New Testament church. And Paul said that we're baptized into one body. There are many members, but there are one body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that we're baptized into one body. Listen, everybody in the world has a spirit. But choose to take your spirit and be in connection with God the right way. And that is in the church, in the body of Christ. That's how you take your spirit and have the best relationship with that. In Ephesians 1 and verse 22, Christ is the head of the body. The best way to take your spirit and do something with it is to let Christ be your head and my head. And once we're in that body, Ephesians 4, 12 through 16, we work together. And Paul talks about the building up of itself in love. We have other Christians to love. We have Christ to submit to. There is no better way to take your spirit and do something with it than in the church. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not before, but it's very popular for people today to say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Have you ever heard that? I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. What that says is, what they're saying is, they're saying, I have a spirit. Well, we've known that from the dawn of time. We all have a spirit. Yeah, we're all spiritual. But what's the point of that? That is a relationship that everybody has, but you've got to handle it in the best way possible. And the way that is for us today is in the church. For the patriarch, it was to offer up sacrifices. The father did that. Under the law of Moses, it included things at the tabernacle and then later the temple. But today, it's in the church. That's how you take care of your spirit. That's what it means to be a Christian. And so when Paul writes in 1 Timothy 3:15, he writes so that men might learn how they ought to behave in the house of God. We need to be in God's house, and this is how we take care of that spiritual relationship. Consider the workplace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. All of us, everybody in the world, is made to get up and work. That's what's best for our minds and for our bodies. And so, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. Look at this. The thing that is good. Work is good. So in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul writes about how to be a good employee. You work heartily unto the Lord. You respect your boss. And even later, bosses are to treat their employees well. Why? Because all of us are going to have some sort of a work relationship, unless we're just fully lazy. We're going to have a work relationship. Well, how's the best way to handle that? Always being at strife with your boss, or always some fighting or antagonism? No. The gospel teaches us how to best have a work relationship. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 and 12, Paul says to be busy or to be diligent, to learn how to work and provide for your own and take care of your own things so that you don't have any needs. Take care of your own needs. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, if we don't take care of our own, Paul says we're worse than an unbeliever. And so it teaches us being a Christian is the best way to approach that relationship. Some will not work at all. The Proverbs call that laziness. Some who do work don't put much into it, or they're constantly having problems. They can never hold down a job. They're not following Christian principles that help them to have that best relationship. Look at Titus chapter 2, 9 and 10. Some people work, but they steal from their employer, or they cause some problems at work. And so being a Christian is going to give me principles to let me know how to best handle my spirit. And when I get up and go to work, it's going to help me to best have that relationship in life. You're going to be around folks, brethren, when you go to work tomorrow on Monday, you're going to be around folks that have a work relationship, but they're not handling that as a Christian, and so things are berserk. in their lives. Titus 2:9, servants be in subjection to their own masters to be well-pleasing to them in all things. There's people who show up at work and from the get-go they don't want to be well-pleasing to anybody. It's just a fight all day long. But to be well-pleasing in all things, not gainsaying, not purloining or pilfering or stealing, but showing all good fidelity. I'm going to show up at work and I'm going to be the faithful worker. Some of you have probably worked before where it's like, man, I can't get my coworker to do his job or her job. You see, these principles, brethren, are telling me and showing me that this is the best way. And then look at the last part of the verse, that they may adorn the doctrine of God in all things. What a beautiful thing, to adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. I'm going to show up at work wearing the gospel. What a great attitude that is. You see, to be a Christian means that it's going to help me to have the best work relationship. Come with me to the matter of the home. Everybody is in some sort of a home all over the world. But we've got broken homes. And the divorce rate is about 50% in our country. And missing dads. And an abuse. Verbal and sexual abuse and emotional abuse. And neglect. We've got all these agencies in our country that have to take care of young people who should be taken care of by mom and dad. But where are they? They're gone. So we have to have all these other agencies to take care of. It's because people have these relationships all over the world, but very few are choosing to have that relationship as a Christian, which would best help them as a husband, as a wife. And so Ephesians 5:22, you have husbands who love their wives as Christ loved the church. And you have wives that submit to their husbands. What a beautiful thing. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that these godly women are saved through their childbearing. That bearing children is a good thing and being a mother is a good thing and I'm going to take care of my children. We're all going to have some sort of a family relationship at some point or another in our life. Why not just have it in the best way possible, which is the Christian life? Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, 4 and 5. The older women are to teach the younger women or to train them to love their husbands, to love their children. Wouldn't that be a great thing if all homes had that and all homes had husbands who loved their wives as Christ loved the church? These mothers being sober-minded, wouldn't that be great if you had a lot of that? And pure workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wouldn't that be great if every home had that? What it means to be a Christian, it just simply means that in all of these relationships that everybody has, you're choosing to have them in the best way possible. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. A wife who has this inner character, this inner godly character, which is of a great price. Speaking of the wives, that men can behold their behavior and be brought to the Lord because of that. Beholding your chaste or pure behavior, verse 2, coupled with fear, respect, and reverence for God. Wouldn't that be great if every marriage had that? Whose adorning, let it not be outward adorning of the braiding of the hair and of the wearing of jewels or of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Wouldn't it be great if every wife had that? For after this manner aforetime, the holy women also who hoped in God. Wouldn't it be great if every wife hoped in God? Adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you now are, if you do well, and are not put in any fear by any terror. You husbands, in like manner. Look at that, men. In like manner. In like manner to what? What have we just been reading? If you read... Men, if you read from verse 3 down through verse 6, you're going to find some qualities that apply to you and I as a man in like manner. In like manner. fearfulness of God, holiness, and an inward character. In like manner, we're to have that same characteristic in our life. Look at this. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge or understanding. Wouldn't that be great if every husband did that? Giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. Wouldn't that be great if every husband did that? As being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Wouldn't it be great if every married couple prayed together? You see, we all have these relationships in life. You and I just choose to handle that by being a Christian. What about our community? We're all surrounded by people. Everybody's surrounded by others. But we're not going to go out and fight them and do violence toward them and abuse them verbally and hurt them in some way. We have a community around us, and we're going to live at peace. Romans 12, verses 17 and 18. We're going to live at peace as much as lies within us, and we're going to try to live honorable lives, and we're not going to be conformed to the world around us. Verse 2. You know, when we're around others, 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 32, 33, we're not going to push our personal opinions on them. Paul said that if you cause someone else to stumble, don't go out and force that and do that. We're going to be mindful of others around us. We live in a very selfish world, and it's all about me. I don't care about anybody else around me. I can say and do whatever I want with these people around me. And we're seeing our own culture just disintegrate before our eyes. It's terrible how people treat their neighbors. It got so bad that a few years ago, I don't know if y'all saw them, but people were putting signs out in their yard, "Be kind." That's a great thing. We need to be kind. But why are we having to put that out in our yard? Because it's getting terrible. People are not being kind to others. Philippians 2:15. We're going to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We're not going to engage in the same stuff that the world does. We're going to be a light. We're going to be different. And Colossians 4:5, when we go to talk with people, we're going to have a speech that is seasoned with salt and seasoned with grace, that we know the right thing to say at the right time. We're going to guard our words when we're talking with other people. We're going to be careful. We're going to be kind. Be nice. If we have to address something, we can be firm about that, but we can also be nice about it. We're all going to have to be around other people at some point in our lifetime. Being a Christian shows us the best way to be. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, as we go through this life, we're going to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And we're going to set that right example for others. And people out in the world can look at us and they can look at our behavior. They can see that we are following God's word. We're all going to have some sort of a social or community relationship. The best way to handle that is as a Christian. And then with regard to civil government, we're going to submit. We're going to submit. In Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, we're going to be respectful. We're going to submit to law enforcement. We're going to be respectful to law enforcement. Our young people today are being taught, throw off that, get rid of that, be mad at that, be upset at that. But the Christian way is to submit. There's one exception. Acts chapter 5, verse 28, Peter says we must obey God rather than men. So if civil government were to tell us to do something that was contrary to God's word, we must obey God rather than men. But with that exception aside, when government has laws and the enforcement of those laws which do not go against God's word, we need to submit to that. And we need to be respectful of that. And not even sort of like in a grudgingly kind of way. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. This was written at the time of Nero, when Nero was emperor. And he was no good emperor by any means. He was terrible. What does Peter say? Similar to what Paul said in Romans 13, submit to government. Peter said the same thing. Bob and I have been talking about this some lately, that Peter, Paul, and John taught the same thing on many things. Verse 17, honor all men. That's hard to do. respect their office. Respect the office that they're in. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. At this time, that would be Nero. Now, I'll tell you what, it's awfully hard to do that, but we can respect that office. We don't have to like him personally. We certainly don't condone his sins. But we need to respect the office. And that's the way a Christian handles the matter of government. Turn with me to Titus 3 and verse 1. But today, the way people are handling this particular relationship is throw off all shackles of law enforcement and just cause as much problems as you can. That's not the Christian way. And not only that, but you're entering into that relationship in a way that's going to hurt you one day. You're going to get hurt one day with that approach and that attitude. Titus 3 verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work. Speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. That is what I just read there, what Paul wrote, is the opposite of how many people are handling their civic duties today. Just the opposite of what they're doing. The Christian life causes us to enter that relationship in the best way possible. And then last of all, and we'll close, when I have this relationship with myself, how do I handle my own self? I get up each day, I think about myself. How am I supposed to think about myself? Paul says, turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, I need to be thinking about myself in a certain way. That's the best way to handle that relationship. The Christian way is the best way. I say through the grace that was given to me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. I'm not to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. That's how I think of myself. I don't need to be proud. I don't need to be boastful. I don't need to be self-centered. I need to be a humble self. And that's the next passage there. If you look at, we'll come on down to that in just a minute. In James chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves. James 4:10, humble yourselves. I need to be a humble self. I need to bring myself under God and His rule and His reign. I'm not the center of the universe. I'm not a God. I'm not my own God. And so, humility. And then combine that with self-control. Look at Galatians 5:23. The fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. Each day that I get up, I'm going to control myself. That's the best way to enter into that relationship. If you enter into that relationship with a selfish approach, you're going to cause problems for your life and the lives of others around you. But Christ is trying to tell me, hey, you got a relationship. It's called the self. Here's the best way to do that. Humility and self-control. And here's another one. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat them the way you want to be treated. You view yourself, because you're made in the image of God, you view yourself in a good way. Treat your neighbor that way. You're not an animal. I'm not an animal. I'm made in the image of God. And I'm going to treat other people the way I want to be treated. That's the best way to enter into that relationship. Brethren, God gives us relationships. All of us have them. Whether we're a Christian or not, we all have these relationships. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to enter into all of them in the best way possible. You can look around the world and you can see how other people are entering into these relationships, and it's a disaster. As a Christian, it will give us the best life possible. If we can encourage someone here this morning to become a child of God, if you need to do that, or as a child of God, if you've erred in some way, if we can help you to come back, let us help you to do that. Just think about that. We all have these relationships. And what it means to be a Christian is, I'm just going to have the best possible relationship in life in all of these areas. If we can invite you to that same thought and that same blessing, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?